Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Roy Mathock Jr. here, and we are going to be talking money today, and always have there's just always something to talk about. And today I'm going to kind of go through a little bit of how I got started back in 1983 and what were some of the things that happened, because, you know, I'm reading, you know, all these different articles about where people are at. You know, back at that time I was broke, and I mean, like, no money broke, the kind of broke that you have when you really don't have any money. And, you know, during that time, I started thinking, man, if I could ever get to a point where I don't have to worry about this stuff, it would be like freedom, you know, and to be able to get the thumb off my neck and stuff like that. And so, you know, I started working and I started learning, and I was fortunate to meet up with some of the right people. And 10 years later, I was able to say, you know, 10 years ago, I was broke, really broke. Credit card debts, car payments, everything that went along with that, and all the negative things that, you know, and not a real good income system to make any money. And then one day, 10 years later, I look back and I say, man, I worked hard. I did all the right things. And 10 years later, I put myself in a position where I never had to worry about it again. And so more than half of all U.S. adults, listen to this, this is out of Business Insider, lose sleep over financial issues. 50% across every age group. The biggest money stressor was living expenses, just everyday living expenses. About one in three Americans, U.S. adults, say that they lose sleep over just regular expenses. We're not talking about retirement expenses. We're not talking about the future. We're talking about the current today. And so what I'm going to do today is walk you through a lot of the things that, you know, I don't care where you're at, it's fundamentals. The fundamentals are always the same. What are the fundamentals in getting ahead financially? Raise your income, manage your expenses, create a gap, save the gap, put your career into orbit to where you build something, more than likely build something that will allow you to have lifetime income off of your career. That's by owning your own business. Become a 2%er. A 2%er is about $300,000 in income pretty much anywhere you go. That's a 2%er. That 2%er gives you the lifestyle that you want to have, a nice lifestyle. I'm never going to sit there and just be broke my whole life because I'm saving, you know, so I can have a little something at the end. I want to have both. I want to have the income. I want to have the time. I want to have the money. I want to have the freedom. I want to have all that kind of stuff. And so that's what I do. And we answer questions for that. And the questions, you can call them. We'll give you a new number. And then this way you can call any time for any question. It doesn't matter if we're on air, off air. And then if you would like your questions put on air, I'll bring some of those answers up. But write this number down, 866-651-4848. That's an easy one, 866-651-4848. If you have questions regarding your money, if you have questions regarding business, any of those type of questions, call them in, and we'll either give you an answer back, either in a private setting, or we will keep it private, but we'll answer it. And if you would like to have it on air, we're going to start airing these questions. I get all these questions all the time. And so we're going to do that. So 866-651-4848. You can also go to roymatlockjr.com, and you'll find a lot of our shows, and we got Download Center. We got all kinds of stuff. You know, I had a number of questions about the show, about the gig economy. People have responded to that in a pretty big way. And, you know, the gig economy is, a lot of you are out there right now. You are doing odd jobs, we'll call it, or maybe they're not odd jobs. It's just maybe you don't want to have a boss. And so some of the questions were, how do you provide benefits for yourself? I need to have a pension plan in place. I need to have all those kind of things. So we're going to cover that. And another, that, and by the way, that is episode 19 on the podcast, June 29th podcast. If you go to roymatlockjr.com, you can get that. Right now, I think I've built up over 20 different shows that you can go in. And I can tell you this, the only thing we do here is educate. That's the, I did idea. My show topic is the same. You're not making enough money and you need to get better control of it. And we educate. So I'm going to cover some of the questions that came in on the gig economy, how to provide your own benefits. I'm going to give you another good one. If you want to be a high income earner, I'll give you the step-by-step plan to do that. That is number 18, episode 18. It's called How to Be a 2%er. So go to roymatlikejr.com and find that. And then one more that I got a bunch of questions on, June the 2nd, is called the 3 Ds, discipline, diversification, and dollar cost averaging is what we talk about. So let's begin by developing a plan to go out and get on the right track to begin with. And it's called the mindset. You know, when I got started, I told you just earlier, if you're just tuning in, you know, it wasn't like I was sitting there with a trust fund. I've never, you know, been given money like that. I had to go out there and went out and did it on my own. And I remember, stress that I was under. I was newly married not too long after, you know, I got involved in the business. I'd started in the financial business and I was a disaster. Everything about it. I had cars, credit cards. I even had a VCR payment. If any of you are dated back, if you even know what a VCR is, I went into Circuit City and wanted a VCR, and they put it on a payment plan. And so nobody started any worse. I wasn't educated, didn't have some big degree. I didn't have people beating my door down saying, hey, we'd like to give you a job as a bank president and pay you $200,000 a year or something like that. I didn't have any of those things. But what I had was I had a desire to learn. I was always one of those is very competitive. If you're competitive out there, I think that's part of the big thing that you have to learn to be competitive. You got to learn to make a decision that you're gonna win. You make your mind up. And so the first thing that happens is it's a mindset. And what is a mindset? I'm gonna give you the best example of a mindset. Once you make a decision, everything gets out of the way. If you started college and you said, I'm gonna get a college degree, once you made that decision, the college degree was gonna happen. Now along the way, what was going to happen, you were going to have setbacks and you were going to have people, you know, discourage you. You were going to have teachers you didn't like and all those kind of things. But you made your mind up. And once you made your mind up, you did it. And so once you make your mind up that you're sick and tired of being broke and you want to do something about it and you're sick and tired, okay, of not getting paid what you're worth, once you make a decision that that's over with, you will then start moving in the right direction. Well, I made that decision. I made that decision. I'm not going to live this way. And it doesn't matter what I have to do. If I have to work 80 hours a week, I'm going to do that. But I'm going to get it over with. I'm not going to be in that situation anymore. So step number one is you got to develop the right thinking pattern in the way you look at things. You got to decide right off the bat that it's not right for you to be in the position you're in and that you're going to do something about it. The second thing, once you make the decision, is that you're going to have to go be deserving of getting yourself in the right place. Now, why are you deserving? Well, if you sacrifice and you pay the price and you spend time learning, you know, I wake up every morning to doing this as a habit. I get up early every morning, been doing it forever. Every time I get in the car, I do this. I try to make my car my college classroom. That's my educational tool. I listen to things that allow me to learn more. Every day I want to be better than I was the day before. And so I go out and I use my time in my car. I get up early in the morning. I read when nobody's up. I'm up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm learning. I'm listening to podcasts now. I'm, you know, going through. I've got all my news feeds that have everything to do with money and business and things like that. So I deserve to make a lot of money. I deserve, okay, to be financially free because I'm doing the work. See, if you're doing the work to get there, you deserve it. See, what happens is most people don't believe they deserve it, and they probably are right. The reason they're not there is because they're not out there doing the things. So make a decision you're going to do that. And then what happens is you look at things completely, entirely different. I mean, I would imagine if any of you that are listening right now would agree with me that people who are financially successful think differently than people who are not. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go in and talk about the difference in the million-dollar earners, the millionaire mindset, the people that really do a lot, and what I think you'd all agree that that's the difference. And so what we're going to do, we're going to run into a break here in just a second, and then we'll be right back. And when we're back, we're going to be talking about the difference in the way people think, all right, when it comes to money and finance and everything like that, the ones that are successful the way they think and the ones that aren't. So my name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back. We're back, Roy Matlock Jr., and we're talking this morning about the mindset of becoming financially free and some of the things you got to do. And so let's talk about, you know, what's the difference in the thinking of people that go out there and win, not only in business, but they get their finances straight, the kind of things that most of you, you know, you're out there. If I were to interview, and we do these 2-percenter interviews where you go out and, you know, I interview people that have made it and went out and did it. And, you know, the thing that's interesting about it is that they all think the same, but they don't think like the people who don't make it. So I'm going to give you kind of an example. If you are going to get yourself in a position to where financially you're doing well, you have to look at things opposite almost of what people do, you know, it's, that are not. You know, one of the things that if I were to ask you, go get advice and get advice on money, who would you ask? Would you ask somebody who's broke, or would you ask someone that has money? And you would have two entirely different things that they say. I'm going to give you an example. If you are in a position where you're broke and you're struggling and things like that, you believe that it's painful to save money. That's what you think. You think saving money is going to be painful. Your life's going to be boring. Everything about it is going to be that way. And so therefore, it's very painful to think that you're going to not do something, or you're not going to get to drive this car, or not to get to do these kind of things. And so you believe that that's a painful experience to change. All right, it's the pain of change. And so what ends up happening is you continue going down that path, and then one day you find out that that path is the pain. And then you make a decision. You say, you know what, that pathway is painful. I don't like that pathway. I'm going to stop doing that. And you start getting some advice on how to do it. And then suddenly you go out and you say, I'm not buying a new car anymore because that new car causes me pain. It doesn't cause me pleasure. It caused me pain. And so now when it causes you pain, you want to avoid it. One of the two key motivators are to gain pleasure or avoid pain. But the primary motivator is to avoid pain. People will do everything to avoid pain. For instance, if you go to work one day and they say, I'm going to give you a 50% pay cut, that's painful. And you're like, no way you're going to do that. I quit. I'm going to go find something else. I'm not putting up with that. But if they come in and they say, look, if you work extra hours, we're going to give you some extra money. A lot of people are like, nah, I'm not that motivated to do that. But take away something and they do that. So what you have to do is change your mindset on what is painful and what is not. So for instance, when I was broke, I started, you know, to get to the point of being broke and being in over my head, I felt like that my pleasure was all these things that I purchased. And so then what happened is I decided that was not the way I wanted to live anymore. And so I got rid of my car, sold both of my cars that were, you know, finally got them to where they were not upside down. I sold them and I bought two used VW diesel Rabbits. Now, the thing about those VW diesel Rabbits, at least you get a thrill. When you pull out on the interstate, they would only go about 60, 70 miles an hour when you're flooring it and you got trucks honking at you and stuff like that. But they were diesel. The reason I bought diesel is because the gas was, you know, diesel fuel was way cheaper. They got 60, 70 miles a gallon. And I took my car payment, which was $613 a month. I remember that all the way back almost or over 30 years ago, and I got out of that 613 that I was paying, and I just continued doing 613. But the difference was I paid all of those cars off in about 9 months. So what happened is I bought two used junkers, paid them off, and that $613 a month got freed up. I then applied that. I'd paid off the credit cards shortly thereafter because now I've got no car payment. I've got $600 a month left over. I've got the ability to go out and save money, and eventually I paid the credit cards off. And then once I paid the credit cards off, you know what I was able to do? I was able to save $613 a month, and that $613 a month was the beginning of me getting on a plan to get financially free. I put that in mutual funds. I invested that money. I started funding my retirement accounts. I'd funded my emergency fund, and I started moving in that direction. Since that time, I only have bought one new car, and that was when I had triplets on the way, who, by the way, are getting ready to turn 22. They were on the way, and I went in, and I was busy, and I was making money, and I went into this place, and I bought one of these new minivans. It had doors on both sides, and it was like the latest thing, and I don't remember how much it was. And I went in the car place, and the guy says, "Aren't you the guy on the radio?" He says, "I can't believe you're buying a new car." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to put it on the payment plan." He says, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How much is this?" And I wrote him a check, and that was the payment, one payment plan. And I wrote one check for that. And so that was the only time I bought a new car, and I found out, I was like, you know, why did I do that? I don't even like doing this. Why would I ever buy a new car? That's dumb. Okay, if you do go buy new cars, all right, I remember one of the guys, and we're going to go through and talk the second half of the show about, you know, how Dave Ramsey and I came up and how we what we learned from. And it was a book called Common Sense, and I'll never forget this. And he was one of my mentors, and he said, "Let me tell you something. If you are out there buying these fancy cars and doing all this kind of stuff," he says, "I'm telling you right now, I never bought a new car until I had $1 million saved." And he said, "I think if you're buying those new cars, you're dumb." And I was thinking, man, he's talking my language. And then I started buying those used cars and saving a bunch of money on it and paying cash and all that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, okay, that makes total sense. And so then what happened is we even went when we were on the radio and created a mindset of, we called it the money game car. And people came out to this car lot and they bought these junkers and paid cash for it, and we gave them a bumper sticker called a money game car. And that money game car was the car that was paid for. Hey, it may not be the sharpest looking, you know, ride in town, but guess what? It doesn't carry a payment with it. And when it doesn't carry a payment, it allows you to go ahead and save the payment, and then the payment would allow you to continue to upgrade that car over time. And so that's how I started working on things. I started shopping. You know, I decided what I was going to do was cut out every single expense that was unnecessary. And if I had to buy something, I don't care what it was, what I was going to do, I was going to buy it used. You know, back on that VCR payment that I had, my next door neighbor owned a VCR repair store. And the VCR that I had the payment on finally died. And I told him, I said, "Hey, man, I need to get another VCR. Have you got one of those used ones somebody hadn't paid for?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I can get you one for $50. And he brought me one home. And I bought it used, paid $50. I was like, "Yeah, they're $600 new." And I paid $50. And then I went to Goodwill, and I would get in there, and I'd go to Goodwill, and I'd buy my pinpoint shirts. You know, I'd be doing seminars and things like that. And next thing you know, I'd buy those for $1 a piece. It was almost $1 just to get them at that time cleaned. People would outgrow them. They'd be these really nice shirts, you know, custom shirts. I'd go find them. I went to the Ladies of Charity store, and I did the sale, and I did that kind of stuff. Bottom line is, everything I did, I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go waste my money on anything. You know, today you've got Facebook, you've got eBay, you got all these different things where you can buy anything you want used, and it's all organized for you. And so if you're right now trying to get moving, first thing you got to do is you got to make a decision that the things that most people think are important are not important, and the things that are important are the things that you get yourself in a position where you're not stressing anymore. You're not living that way anymore. What you're doing is you're making a decision. You're going to get free. And when you start making that decision, you're getting the correct mindset. And then one day what happens is your money starts growing and you start seeing the stock market, you know, we read about the record stock market right now, the market's been killing it, that kind of deal, and you're a participant and you're like, man, this is great. You know, I made this much money. I saw, you know, statements of clients of mine and where, you know, the amount of money that they've made since the beginning of the year is just mind-boggling, where they go out and because what they did is they started saving money and putting it to work over an extended period of time. And now guess what? They look at their mutual fund statement, all right, and they say, man, they look at their retirement plan statement, they're like, man, I like this. Life is good. Things are better. That's the way it should be. And so if you have questions and you'd like some of these questions answered, you know, you can call in 866-651-4848, and we'll take those calls. We'll either call you back. But had a couple of questions about the gig economy. What should I do to provide my own benefits and pension plan? You know, today there's basic things you got to look at. The first thing is if you're on your own Social Security, you're probably going to not be paying that much into Social Security. It's not going to be like that little plan there that's going to help you. So you need to be thinking about that. And so what do? We set up a bank draft. That's the first thing, where we have the money pulled out of our account and start saving money that way. If you're young, probably a Roth IRA makes good sense. But we'll talk more about that. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. back, and we're going to get into some good stuff now, and I'm going to talk to you about how I came up, you know, in terms of how I learned about money. This is there was a book that was copyright 1983. It was called Common Sense. And Common Sense for Your Money, a Simple Plan for Financial Independence. And when I first got involved in the investment business, insurance and investment business, I started back in November of 1983. This book had just come out, and it became the Bible for me when it came to money. It was everything I needed to know in order to get my own finances straight. And so I did that. Started reading that, and then, you know, during that time, you know, Dave Ramsey and I had met back right about 1984, 1985, and, you know, this Common Sense book was the founding principles of you know, what we did. Matter of fact, it became really the inspiration for his Financial Peace book as times went on. And but anyway, so we did that, and then we started that radio show called The Money Game. But it was all built around this concept called Common Sense. And I'm going to put this Common Sense book up on my website, roymatlockjr.com. So that'll be up there this week. But you can also find it. It's called How Money Works. It's been updated. But at that time, there was over 15 million copies in print. And it outline what you should do. And so if you're a gig economy, or if you're out there at or near retirement, it's always the same. It's always the same. So what is the four fundamentals? The first four fundamentals: lack of planning. This is where people fail. Lack of knowledge about the way savings and investments work, and insurance and all the things that take your money. Dependence on others, and the reason you depend on others is because you're not educated. And then lastly, procrastination. And so what we do to start is we got to look at it. So lack of planning, we got to have a goal. That's the GPS, goal, plan, schedule. The goal, the plan, the schedule. What's the goal? Where do I want to be? All that kind of stuff. The second thing is it's a lifetime of learning that you need to go out and become more knowledgeable. That doesn't mean that if you're in the computer business, you need to be a financial advisor, and no more than I need to be in the computer business if I'm a financial advisor. But at the same time, I need to have some understanding, you know, of the way things work, because if not, I'm just completely left to the advice and dependence of others. It makes total sense for you to question people that you're doing business with because you've read something and get to a point where you feel comfortable that they're actually giving you good advice on what to do. And they're not just selling a product. What they're doing is they're actually educating you in the way that it should be happening. So lack of planning, we got to get a goal, got to get a plan, got to get a schedule on when we're going to get there. We're going to get our knowledge base in place. So we're going to start working on it. Hey, if nothing else, listen in on my podcast. My podcast, I teach everything pretty much that you're going to need to know to get on track. Dependence on others. So we're going to not depend, not take it blind advice. If you feel like you're meeting with somebody and it's too they make it too complicated, then they're the wrong person. You should be able to do it, and then we got to get started. And so that's the first thing. So when we do this, we got to stick to the fundamentals. We got to have a game plan. And so what are the 10 basic principles that you have to do? The first one is this. You got to get started now. What that means is stop procrastinating. Stop putting it off. You got to do it now. You got to start making wise choices today. And I'm going to go in and talk about that and how to really get it started. Pay yourself first. Step number two, pay yourself first. Everybody gets paid. You should get paid. For instance, I have people that are in this gig economy. They say, well, I don't get paid on a regular basis. So it's hard for me to save money because I don't get paid on a regular basis. I'm a real estate agent, and I might not get paid for 3 months or 2 months or something like that. Whatever it is, I get irregular pay. I always ask them this. Do you pay your electric bill on an irregular basis? In other words, do they do that? Does the mortgage company say to you, oh, you own this house, and so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to let you pay us when you feel like it, when you make some money. If you don't make any money, you don't have to pay. All right? No, they don't operate that way, do they? What they do is they say, it's due on the 1st. It's late after such and such date, the 5th or 10th, whatever it is. And if you don't do it for maybe 3 months, we're going to send you a notice saying we're going to take your house. All right. And then we're going to foreclose it. But you're going to sit there and say, hold on. Wait a minute. I'd get paid on an irregular basis. That's not fair. Doesn't work that way. So if you're going to pay everybody else, then you need to have a bank draft set up on your checking account, or to where absolutely every single month something's coming out of your account and going into an investment account. You got to do that. Now, maybe initially it's just to fund your money market account or your emergency fund. But the bottom line is that you got to be doing it on paying yourself first. Take some money out of all of your effort and put it aside. Number three, use time and consistency. So what happens is this. You go in and you say, well, I'm going to put $100 a month away. That's fine. We're going to do that consistently. How do we do that? Well, you may go in, if you have a retirement plan through your work, you sign up for that, and the money gets automatically invested. Or you have it pulled out of your checking account. I've always been self-employed, so mine's always been on my own. It's a bank draft. I always call it, it's a pre-authorized checking draft. So what happens is I take that money and I turn around and have it withdrawn out of my checking account every single month. Been doing that for years and years and years and years. And then what happens is you can project, you can learn compound interest. And you say, well, what is compound interest? Well, it tells you how long your money doubles. You can go online and get a compound interest calculator. And it'll say, well, if I put aside $100 a month and I get 8% on my money and I do that over the next 20 years, what's it going to be worth? And you can project out and say, okay, this is where I need to be. All right. So we go back to our original plan and we say, well, I want to have $50,000 a year coming in, do nothing money for the rest of my life, never runs out, that kind of deal in today's dollars. Then you say, well, I'm going to put it in. If I can get, I need $1 million at 5%, $1 million pays $50,000 a year. So that's my goal. And then I got inflation in there. I want to have, maybe if I can get 8% on my money, something like that, then what would happen? I'd have a little inflation guard. So how much money do I need to save in order to have $1 million, say in 20 years. And then you might say, well, but we got inflation, so I might need, inflation's going to be 2%, 3%. So what's $1 million? You take your compound calculator, say 20 years from now, here it is. And you say, I've got this much money set aside. And if I'm expecting this kind of return, how much do I need? And you just put those numbers in, and now you have a financial independence number that you just start working. And every month you say to yourself, all I got to do is make sure that money's in that checking account where they can yank it out, and I'm going to do that. And that's time and consistency. Number four is you got to have an emergency fund. An emergency fund, what is that? It's 3 to 6 months of expenses, all right, that will allow you to withstand a job loss, an accident, a black swan event, something that's unusual and never happens. So you want to have that set aside. You want to have that liquid, but not too liquid. I used to tell people, we'll put it in a money market account at, say, a mutual fund, something like that, and you can get it, but you got to call them and you got to wait 2 days. So it's not a put and take account. It's an emergency fund. So what we want to do is have that money set aside for emergencies, and you need to be clear on what an emergency is. An emergency is, we'll go as far as saying an emergency is your transmission goes out. But really, that should be set aside into an account that's designed for maintenance. And so you've got the put and take account in there, but it could be. But what a real emergency is, you lose your job. You walk in on Monday and they say, hey, see ya, you're out of here. And now you're not going to get paid. And so that's number four. So we have 10 principles. Get started now. Pay yourself first. Use time and consistency. Number four, establish an emergency fund. Number five, buy the right life insurance. So why do we put life insurance at such an important thing? Because your family is depending on your income. That's what it is. Life insurance is income protection. What it does is it provides the income in the event something happens. So let's say that you're 35 years old and you're making $80,000 a year. So you're making $80,000 a year. If you didn't get another raise, by the time you're 65, we could take 30 times 80. That's $2.4 million of income. If your spouse is working and they're making $80,000 a year, now you got $4.8 million of income coming in with no raises. So the question is this, how much of that income would you want to have if something happened to either one of you? And most people tell me all of it. So then the question is, how do we buy it? And we can buy two types of coverage. We can buy term, or we can buy whole life. And when we buy term or cash value, one has savings, one is strictly insurance. Every consumer advocate from beginning of forever and ever and ever, it says always buy term. I have only been in term insurance. I have never had a client. I have in that business, never have I put a client in anything but term insurance. So you want to buy term insurance equal to the amount of money it would take in order to be able to provide that income all the way throughout. So my name is Roy Matlock Jr. We will be right back. All right, we're doing our last segment this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the show. My name's Roy Matlock Jr. We put this information out with the idea that, if you're educated, you can make the right kind of decisions, and you do have the chance to get out there and get your finances straight. And so if you have questions that you would like to get answered, you can call, and this will go right in. We will answer those questions off air or on air, depending on what you'd like to do. 866-651-4848. It will also get you in touch with my office if you would like help when it comes to your money. I have a bunch of guys and gals that have been with me for many, many years, been doing this for 36 years, getting ready to be 36 years, helping people with their money. And so if you're needing help, that would be the call-in number. You can do 866-651-4848, and we'll have someone help you with that. We've been going through the 10 principles of building financial independence, and out of a great book called Common Sense that was 1983. It hadn't changed at all. So the first five, we're getting started. Get started now. Pay yourself first. Use time and consistency. Establish an emergency fund. We were finishing up with buy the right life insurance. So term insurance is the way to go. You know, the rule of thumb is about 10 to 15 times your income in term life insurance. You can buy term now for up to about a 30, 35-year term if you wanted to. So that means that someone could purchase insurance at age 30, have it a level premium all the way to the time that they retire. And then the idea is by the time you get to retirement, you know, you should be having cash. That's the goal. And then that way you're self-insured. So there's other insurances you need to look at. Okay, you need to, as you save money and you develop a nest egg, you can start raising deductibles on home and auto insurance, on your health insurance, all those kind of things, which will save you premiums, which allows you to invest more money and get more and more financial independent. And so now we move forward and we do this with some things. Minimize your taxes with an IRA. Back when I first got started, you could put $2,000 a year into an IRA. Now you can put up to $7,000. People were asking me, they said, what about catch-up privileges? That's on your 401k, your retirement plans, you can put an additional $6,000, or you can put $6,000 in for catch-up. So if you might want to consider that once you hit age 50. So we minimize our taxes with an IRA or a 401k, and there's a lot of different plans like that from Roth IRAs and 401ks and Roth 401ks. I mean, if you're self-employed, you can do what's called a SEP. You got simple plans. But bottom line is all of them have tax-advantaged things to them. And depending on who you are and where you're at on that kind of stuff, you can do that. If you work for somebody, you may have a 401k. But bottom line is you need to take advantage of that. Number seven is bypass the middleman. The middleman is generally the banks and insurance companies. They borrow money at a low rate. That's what they do. We tell people become an owner, not a loaner. What that means is that rather than, you know, loaning money to the bank, maybe you should own part of the bank. And I say that not as an individual stock or making a recommendation, but, you know, what if you had a diversified portfolio that might own some banks, you know, and things like that and other great companies. And so bypass the middleman. They're making profits by borrowing money at very low rates and loaning it right back to you at very high rates in many cases. And so number eight is invest with professional management. What is that? I've been an advocate forever and ever and ever. I bought my first mutual fund for myself in 1985. I started putting money in mutual funds ever since then. Invest with professional management. They're just like money managers. The right ones are just like doctors. Doctors, you know, if I get sick, I'm going to the doctor because they've had training and knowledge and know-how. And there's better doctors than others. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine thinking about getting knee surgery. And what did he do? He's looking for the very best. Basically, he looks at reviews and stuff like that. Well, you can do the same thing with your investment accounts. You can look at reviews and say, how well has this particular fund group done? But the bottom line is invest with professional management. That's number eight. And then a couple more things. You start a family tradition. You know, family tradition, what does that mean? Well, you start a family tradition by teaching your kids how to pay attention to value. Be a good example of handling your money. Be a good example of teaching your kids. I know my daughter had decided she was going to work a part-time job, and I was very proud of her to do this. She worked a part-time job, made about $15,000, saved all of her part-time income, was doing that as an extra job, and it was for one reason. She wanted to buy a house. And so she decided she was going to buy a house, and she's like, wanting me to help her. And of course, her credit, you know, was not quite established, and I helped her get the loan. And so when we went to get the mortgage, and she's looking for a house, and she goes over in Germantown here in Nashville area, and she's all excited about this house. And I'm like, no, can't do that because, you know, that's one of the pricey areas in town, and I think you would be better off doing something different. And she went, and she wasn't real happy with what I said, but long story short, she bought a house, an older house. paid, I think, $160,000 for it, and then rehabbed it, put $70,000 in it, did it on her own, hired people, did all this stuff. She's got that kind of mindset. And when she got through with the thing, it had more, I think she owed $230 on it, and it appraised for $360. That's pretty cool for a 26-year-old, 25-year-old at the time. Now, the reason for that is because we talk about things like that. We do things, all right? If we do the right things and we tell our children to do the right things. I remember when my son, he was making some extra money and working at Sonic when he's like 16 years old. And I told him, I said, you should save that money, should put it into an investment. I'll do something. I'll help you. I'll match your money. If you put any money in one of these accounts, I'll match it. And so anyway, he routed up some of his paychecks. I handed him a prospectuses of all these different funds, and I said, you just go look at the different companies they own, and you decide which one you think is good. And he saw in there one of them had some stock in GameStop, and he's like a gamer, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he decided he'd put that money in, and 16 years old, and it ended up, it was like $770 that he put in there. And since that time, you know, that money has tripled during that time. And so what child do you know that's getting advice or like that? They're not, but you can be that person that starts teaching your kids. Matter of fact, I do family financial workshops, and these family financial workshops is where, you know, maybe I have a client of mine that's, you know, gone out and they started out. I can tell you one example, started with $25 a month, saving money about 30 years ago. Now they've got themselves in a great position. Their income went up, you know, they've done well. And so anyway, I said, you know, you guys have sacrificed, you've worked hard, you've done the things you need to do, and now you've got this money. We want to make sure your kids, they got two grown kids and they got grandkids and stuff like that. We want to make sure your kids know what's going on. And so he said, that sounds like a great idea. They came into my office. We did a 2-hour family financial workshop. It had teenagers in there, and then of course the grandfather and grandparents went ahead and put some money in for each of the grandkids, and we got the whole family educated. I did that whole thing for my family. I've got 3 sisters, I've got a brother, we got nieces and nephews, and I mean, it's unbelievable. My mother is still living, and we've got, you know, 5 generations of kids. And so between all that, they're just everywhere. And so what did we do? We went out and we said, hey, let's have a family financial workshop, brought them all in. And when they came in, we taught them how to do things. So what is the family tradition? Be an example of good financial planning. Talk to your children, talk to your family about, as soon as they get old enough, about how to handle their money. Encourage your family to save money. Look, you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, all your family is surrounded and surrounding you and you're the only one that has anything. Anyone can do it. And instill an eye for investments. That's what I did with my daughter when it came to the house, her first home purchase. And as a result of that, she was able to get in there and do it. And then also she got roommates on top of that to help her pay for it. And so that's the way you start doing it. So you start a family tradition. And then the last part, I'm going to close on this, is develop a winning attitude. See, develop a winning attitude. The first thing is this. Life is going to give you whatever you're willing to accept. All right. If you want to accept being broke, you're going to be broke. If you're going to accept not making enough money, you're going to not make enough money. So the first thing is you got to determine, okay, what you're willing to accept. I made a decision years ago. I wasn't going to accept that way of living. And so I made a decision. To make a decision is the key element to getting everything. So I made that decision that I was not going to live that way. I was going to go out there. I was going to create a plan, all right, to get educated, to know and do, and get myself in great shape. And just understand this. You've been making a lot of times, maybe you've made bad decisions with your money, with your career. You understand today is a new day. You can change if you want to change. And so make a decision. For things to improve, you have to improve. That's what you've got to do. And realize that excuses are an easy way out. everyone's got the excuse. I don't have any money. I don't have this. I don't have that. No, you can make those decisions. Go back through, review this. This will be posted on my podcast this week, and you'll be able to go right to roymatlockjr.com, and you'll be able to get this information and go back through this, because I'm going to really work hard to get this information out. This is a great book. I'm going to put Common Sense up on there. It is the thing that I learned from. It was the thing that Dave Ramsey learned from. It was the thing that really caused us to create a radio show and for him to even create a book, because it was about winning with your money. That's the thing that we do, is we teach people how to win with their money. If you need help when it comes to your money, if you have questions, you can call us at 866, call my office. It'll go right in there to the Roy Matlock Jr. Business Money and Business Show, 866-651-4848. You can also visit roymatlockjr.com. I would encourage you to do some of the downloads. Download How Money Works for Kids. Download How Money Works. Also, we have budget forms on there. That's roymatlockjr.com. Thanks for listening.